She's a depressed 20-something with a college degree who copes with life by smoking too much weed. Dodgy and cochinos as she rolls down the street.
Oye, mami, I wanna be your dog.
Aim higher, pendejo.
She's la marihuanera, as seen on IG.
That's me.
Marihuanera.
All right, Marihuanera, some of you let me know that you tried to use our Mota Glass affiliate code. It should be working. It should be in working order. We see that folks have been using it and folks have been making purchases, and we fucking love that. Mota Glass is Latina and veteran owned. It is a glass company. They make gorgeous bongs and other glass pieces for smoking mota, and we love that and we support. I love my Mota Glass beaker. I have like the big ass one. I don't know, it's 24 inches. I have the big one, I have the huge one, and I love it, and it's such a good smoke, and the glass is so thick, it's like indestructible, and I need that because I'm a monster. So if you want your own Mota Glass bong, support a Latina owned bong company. I think that's really fucking cool, if you ask me. I think it's really fucking cool. Shout out Susie Greens, founder, CEO, genius behind Mota Glass, and use our Marihuanera affiliate code for a discount off of your next purchase at Mota Glass. Our affiliate code is Marihuanera P4P. That's Marihuanera, the letter P, the number 4, the letter P. Marihuanera P4P at mota-glass.com for your next purchase. You can also head to my Instagram at mala_Munoz and hit the link in my bio for affiliate code links and all that good stuff. So, Chelly, thank you so much for coming on to Marihuanera, a podcast for potheads to light up and chat and get to know one another. Yes. What are you smoking? You have a beautiful little adorable little pink bong. Yes. Oh my God. How cute.
It's so cute. It's so cute. I had another one just like it. I'm such a lazy stoner. I just buy like a new piece when it's like 2 o'clock. So today I'm smoking.
Love it.
I'm so bad.
I love it. No.
Sunday driver.
Yummy. And how's it treating you? How's that Sunday driver treating you?
Dude, it's a pretty hard indica, I have to say.
Yeah, and you smoke it's daytime, I just want to say. And you can smoke it during the day and you're good to go.
Yeah. Today I'm like doing nothing but like creativity and writing and just planning out. I couldn't make any products today because I have my dog here with me. So today we're just typing and putting that creative juices out. So yeah, but when it comes to like being creative and stuff like that, smoking is awesome.
Yeah, I agree completely. I love to smoke when I'm writing or podcasting. I mean, thus the podcast. I'm like, my bong is humongous. I have the like big Mota glass. My bong is also disgusting. Like my bong is disgusting, but I mean, you know, I'll clean it when I clean it, but it's huge. And so this is what I'm smoking out of. And I don't believe in doing any free advertising, especially not for cannabis brands that, you know, have products in like Westside dispensaries. So, but I'm smoking this like sativa that I really love. And the flower is so pretty and it smells so good. I'm a huge fan. The listeners at home can't see this, but I'm showing off my nug.
Yeah, it's like fluffy and green. It's like a big nug too. It's like the size of your thumb.
Very fluffy. Thumbs. Yeah, I love the texture. It's like a cloud. Oh my God. So I want to talk to you, like I talk to all of my guests here on Marihuanera, about your relationship to weed. How did it begin? Where did it begin? Like, paint the picture for us. Tell us the story.
Okay. So I started smoking consistently, chronically, when I was 19. Uh-huh. It was the coolest thing ever. It was like 2008. And I was like freshly single. It was like hot girl summer. And I didn't even know what it was called. And I was just loving it. Like, I was like, out of like my high school relationship, I was like 19, ready to live it up. Like, yeah, I was like working at FedEx, sorting packages, getting paid,
and living the dream.
Smoke. Yes,
19, living the dream.
Like a job, a summer job
in California.
Medical record. Yeah,
living the dream.
Dude, I remember I had to go. Yeah. I had to find I had to get an LA Weekly to find a medical doctor.
Medical card. You had to go look like in the local paper.
Yeah.
I'm so dead. And it was like mostly only medical like dispensaries, right? Like at that time.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. So it was some medical place on Melrose and I don't know where. But yeah,
West Side dispensary.
I would go to the West Side. I would have to go to like Hollywood. And dude, I just fell in love. Like, I didn't know if I was gonna be like an everyday stoner or just like when I go out with a friend stoner or when I'm sad or whatever. But dude, I'm like an everyday stoner. Like, it's just
a stoner.
All about the way.
Yeah.
It smells and taste, dude. Yeah. I think I started as a midnight toker and like just smoking at night to go to sleep. And then I'm just like, man, smoking makes fun. I should do it all the time.
Yep.
So, and that's me. Like, so I actually I'm so proud of myself. I actually stopped buying weed from a dispensary and I buy it from another woman of color, another bruja. So I had a plug for you.
Do you want to plug the product? You want to like plug the company and the product right now?
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's do it.
She's a mom in LA. She's young. She's Latina.
Queen.
And super. And she delivers. Her Instagram is @alma_rebelde.
Okay, so wait. Dope.
And I always get.
I sure definitely you know follow her. Yeah, I have to have her on the show. Okay, this is beautiful.
Yes, you need to. Dude, I've been buying weed from her since the pandemic started. My friend posted it and I was like, yes, please. I'm so tired of going to dispensaries and giving money to my white men. Like,
absolutely sick of it.
Color incarcerated.
Sick of it. Ugh.
So I was like, yes, please take my money. So like every week I like, oh, like, damn, dude, I'm such a stoner. Like every week, like I buy like 10 grams.
I mean,
so I'm just like, damn.
I see no issue here.
I don't either. I don't
have I detect no issue.
And you know what? I love her stories because it's like she just comes to me now. It's the best.
She delivers?
It's the best. She delivers.
Oh, shit. Okay, well, my life has changed.
Yes, it has. You got to get it. It's so good. It's organic, too, and it's so crystallized. I just started smoking weed when I was 19, and I just fell in love with it, dude. Like, Mary Jane has always been there for me. Like, sad, happy, celebration, chill. Like, Mary Jane has always been, like, my go-to girl.
Yeah.
I just trust her. And I've been smoking weed consistently since.
And would you say, like, was it social? Was it by yourself? And did you ever, like, have, like, a coming out as a pothead, as a stoner, as a marijuanera to friends, to family, to community, what have you? Was that a thing?
Was that a thing? Oh my God. Well, my mom was like, pinche marijuanera.
Did she really? Did she say that?
Yeah. And I remember my dad.
Amazing.
He was like, you're a midnight stoner. He's like, you're a midnight toker.
You're like, yeah, that's accurate.
I was like, oh my God, stop. I remember one time we were driving to Tecate, and there was this guy on his motorcycle, and he was like, ¿Te animas a subirte una motocicleta? And I'm like, I don't know. And he's like, pero la mota sí, ¿verdad?
Oh, my God. Jokes. Jokes. I appreciate the jokes, though. That's yeah. not bad.
It's not. Yeah. He was, like, great at, like, dad jokes, especially if they're bilingual.
It's a talent. That's a skill. Yeah. If your parent can roast you in two languages.
I don't know if I ever came out. I think they just smelled it, I think.
They just knew.
They just smelled it. And, like, I think at a certain point, they were like, well, I guess, like, she's working and going to school, so it can't be that bad. Like, she has it together.
I love that. And I think it's a thing for a lot of us, like, especially for, like, Latinas, women of color. If, mm-hmm. like, you're getting good grades, you're, like, not getting arrested, mm-hmm. you're keeping it together, like, you're working, what, mm-hmm. I guess we'll leave you alone. Like, you know, that's how I feel anyways, kind of a thing. Like, they can't, what are you going to say to me, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Like, I'm working. What do you want?
It's fine.
We're good.
It's chill.
Yeah. So I think that's it. Like, I never came out as like a stoner to them. I never said, this is what I do. but you know, like my mom, like she was like very like strict, like señora, like from El Rancho, you know, like that kind, you know, like marijuaneros kind of señora, you know, like you just picture that with Mexican lady.
Yes. Oh, and yeah.
That's my mom. And my dad was like more cool and chill. Mm-hmm. And what is it? Yeah, like my mom got really, really sick for a while with her diabetes, and she had nerve damage, and it's called neuropathy damage. And it was severe. Like she couldn't eat, she couldn't sleep, she couldn't drink anything. And she was like that for a whole month. And, you know, the doctor described it to me as like getting like a cable and then just slashing it with like a razor blade. Like, imagine that being your nerves. Like, that's what your mom's going through. And I was like, holy shit. And it was just like, you know, like really traumatic, because I was like, oh my God. Like, it was like a month after, like, no. It was like a year after my dad had died. So I was like, I don't want to lose you too. So it was just like, it was traumatic and it was triggering. I was like, what is happening? And, you know, they were giving her morphine, codeine. And she said that the codeine, I saw her really horrible allergic reaction. She was just like tripping out. Her pupils were dilated. She couldn't concentrate on anything. Like, she had like no sense of like what she was around, her surroundings. And the morphine made the pain worse. And I was like, you have to try weed. You just have to try it.
And wow.
Like, yeah. Mm-hmm. And she said, pero eso que me va a hacer? And I'm like, you literally just tried morphine and codeine because the doctor told you to.
Literally. Some of the hardest prescription drugs out there.
Right? That's what I told her. That's what I said.
That's amazing, honestly. Yeah, it, and then like, what happened?
Like, nobody... Yeah. So I was like, I'm your daughter. Nobody is going to take care of you the way I'm going to take care of you. I think you need to give weed a try.
Yeah.
And then it was like already like our fourth time going to the ER. So we already kind of knew the routine, like got to wait 8 hours to be seen or whatever. And I was like, well, let's go back to the car and we're going to smoke weed. And my mom's like, at this point, she was like 69 years old, right? I think she was 70.
It was Senora. Ooh, I love this story.
I know, it's so cool. And we go to the car and I'm like, all right, mom, I'm gonna light it for you and you're gonna inhale and you're gonna try to swallow it. Don't hold it in your mouth. And I light it for her and I'm just like, lighting it for her. She takes an inhale and then she just blows it all super cool. And I'm like, what the hell? Like, what?
She knew what she was doing. She was like, give me that. Let me show you how it's done.
She knew. And you know
good
what?
For her.
She knocked out for like 20 minutes and it was so nice to hear her snore. Cause at that point she wasn't getting any sleep, like she would close her eyes and rest, but she was like awake and in pain. That's how severe the pain was. And she liked it. She was like, eso fue la única cosa que me ayudó.
Ya ves? Wow.
There's something here. And she's like, yes. I don't want to smoke it.
Interesting. So why not smoke it? What is it about the smoking?
I think she just didn't want to get high. But I think she liked it. Like, what's like, you're in your 70s, you earned it. Like, stop.
That's fat. So because she like it, like scared her, like, oh, I like this a little too much.
Yeah.
Ay, señora. I'm happy for her. And I feel like this is a thing, but like, cause I've given my mom like medicated teas and stuff before, like first she's an insomniac. I'm like, lady, this will help. And indeed it did. But I think that just the idea of like consuming THC, just the idea just makes them uncomfortable, or that they might do it regularly, or that they might be a thing for them.
I think you're right. I think they just have so much guilt behind it.
Yes. But I love that you introduced it to her like in this way and that it was helpful to her. And I feel like that's more often than not, it happens, you know?
Every time. Because you know what happens? I have my CBD products and people are like, oh, my grandma used to dip cannabis leaves in alcohol. And I'm just like... everyone's grandma, like
everybody has that story.
And it's just like, oh wow, like somewhere in the part of like your grandparents and like being in the United States, it became real criminal. And you know, I didn't know this. Let me tell you something else. I didn't know this until like maybe 2 years ago. My aunt was like, oh, the reason you're, because my mom's like the oldest in her family. So she's kind of like the second mom. And then like all her sisters are like 15, 20 years younger than her.
Oh, she's the matriarch.
Yeah, for real. And my aunt, and she was like, like your uncle, like the reason he's not here is because he got deported because he stole cannabis from one of the houses we used to clean from. And I was like, oh shit, that's where all this trauma comes from. Like separating families.
There's so many layers to that.
Yeah. And I was like, I had no idea.
No wonder.
No.
So the owner of the house, it's okay for them to have the cannabis. Obviously.
Right.
You know what I mean? So what was he deported because of the theft or because of the cannabis is what I'm wondering.
You know, I need to ask her. I need to ask her. Because it's like, wait a minute. What happened? But I was just, I couldn't. I was like, oh, wow.
That's a wild story. I cannot. Okay, yes. And you mentioned your CBD products. And I would love for us to talk about your entrepreneurship and your business, because you, like you said, we're recording live right now at this moment from your warehouse. You're a business owner. You work in the cannabis space. Tell us how you went from getting into smoking, being a midnight toker at 19 to now like having a whole business.
Yeah, my mom.
Of course, I love it. Yes.
So, you know, after she took her hit and she was like, I don't want to smoke it. I was like, okay, I got to figure something out. Right? I got to figure something out. And I was like, well, let me see what I can do. And I just started researching, because as soon as I knew like, oh, okay, it's neuropathy pain, because for a whole month, she was undiagnosed. They told her it was in her head. They told her it was UTI. They said she was just crying for attention. And I'm like, this is how you treat immigrant women. Like, wow.
That's messed up. That's a mess.
Yeah. So it was just like, I have to take care of my mom. Like, these doctors don't know what they're doing.
No.
And Yeah, so it was that. So I just started researching, like, what is anti-inflammatory? What helps with nerve damage? What helps with pain? And I just started experimenting with different essential oils. And I had Trim with me, and I was like, well, let me see what's up. And that was really it, just me just, like, trying to make a remedy for my mom. And then finally something worked. And she was like, eso sí me ayudó. She's like, las pastillas no me dio, la morfina no me ayudó, pero tus remedios sí me ayudan.
Wow. Look at that.
They did give her pain medication, but she was scared because she was like, I'm already on so much, and now they want me to be on this for who knows how long. She's like, and this works, which means it, like, she's like, that pain was so strong. So how strong is this medication that it actually works? And I was like, yeah, like, I'm scared of that too. Because she's been diabetic since she had me. So it's like, that's like decades of medication in her body. So I was just like, yeah, like, I need to take care of you. So it was just that research and, like, learning how to make products for my mom. And I was working so many shitty jobs. I just, like, being exploited, underpaid, underappreciated, overworked. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I've always had a job in community organizing, and I always worked retail on the weekends, and I still didn't have enough to make ends meet. And I remember I was just, like, researching manager jobs. I was like, all right, I'm ready to take this serious. I'm like, I want to move up. And every job I had, whether it was like in the community organizing or retail, like any interview I kept having for like an entire year, maybe I'm exaggerating. I think it was more like six months or 8 months, actually. 8 months. Yeah, it was like 8 months. I was always like pinned up with like one other person. I was always like the runner up in every interview I had, whether it was nonprofit or retail. And I was like, what's wrong with me that everybody sees something in me, but I'm like, I'm not it. Like, there's something that I'm doing because I'm getting the response everywhere. Like, it's me. And I was just like, oh my God, like, I can't go back to working these jobs. Like, I just can't. Like, I was like, I can't do this anymore. Like, I'm tired. And I remember it was my last job, my last time working for someone else. I was working at Costco sampling popcorn, and my coworker got T-boned. So I was covering her shifts, and I had to keep covering her shifts because obviously, like, yeah, go handle your business. And I remember I came home, and it was like maybe midnight, and I wasn't supposed to be there that late, but because I was covering shifts, I was, and my mom's door was open, and I look in there, and I'm like, and she's like tripping out, and I couldn't make sense of her. And I was asking her simple questions like, oh, did you drink water today? Or like, what color is this? And she wasn't making any sense, and I freaked out. But she was able to like do her blood sugar test, and her sugar level was like at a 38. And at that point, like at a 30, it's like, you need to go to the hospital. So I stayed with her until blood sugar went up, and I gave her orange juice, and you know, she was back to normal. But at that moment, I was like, fuck this. Like, I'm going to call my supervisor right now. And I was like, well, it's 1 a.m. I can't really do that. So in the morning, I was like, I can't, like, I'm going to finish what I'm scheduled for, but that's it. Like, I need to figure something else out. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to try selling these products. I'm like, you know, if my work's for my mom, it's got to work for somebody else. That was really it. And I was like, okay, I'm gonna try that. But first, I'm going to be a notary public. I was like, just in case that doesn't work. Because I really cannot go back to working for someone else.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that was my backup, being a notary. So I'm a notary public.
Very FYI. Cool. Very cool.
But that was my backup plan. And I had, like, no money, dude. I was surfing off my credit cards. Mm-hmm, like, no money. Mm-hmm, like, mm-hmm. I remember taking my mom to healthy cooking classes because it would give you free produce at the end of the class. And I couldn't contribute. Like, I was just so broke. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, it has to get better. Like, this can't be my life. Like, I'm so tired. I'm so ashamed. Like, it has to get better than this, you know?
Yeah.
And I was just like, And I have a great boyfriend. I have a great support system. And he was like, I'll help you. He's like, I'll help you buy the bottles. I'll help you with your labels.
How
he's
cute.
Like, I'll help you. And I was like, okay. And he's like, and I needed that help. I really did. And he's like, I'll take you to your work. I'll take you to your vending events so you feel safe.
Yeah,
and stuff
like that.
And then eventually, so he did all that. And then eventually he started selling with me and our business, like it's my business, but it's like, he's a big part of it.
Amazing.
He's like unofficially my co-founder, but I feel like he's
yours.
Co-founder.
It's yours, but it's yours.
Yeah.
It's yours.
Yeah. That's what he tells
women,
me. He's
women like, owned.
Yeah, exactly. That's what he tells me too. He's like, this is yours. He's like, this is your vision. I'm just here to support you.
Oh, how cute. Oh my God, how cute. We love a supportive partner.
Yeah, he's super sweet. He's so supportive. Like today, what is it? Like his friend, he was supposed to hang out with his friend or whatever, but he was like, well, he's like, he was kind of like iffy, but do you need my help? Because I'd rather help you out. I'll go hang out with him. And I was like, I'm cool. I don't need help. Like, go hang out with your friend. I'm fine.
That is adorable.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
He's so sweet. Yeah. He's so cute. When he was like a little kid, his parents had a shop at the Alameda Swap Meet and he used to sell Chiclets to everybody.
Oh.
And like he saved up for a Nintendo. I was like, damn.
That's a lot of Chiclets. That's a lot of Chiclets.
Yeah.
The entrepreneurship is just.
So he's like an entrepreneur at heart.
That is like so, like, it works. That makes sense.
Works.
That's a partnership that is working.
Yeah.
Well, if he has like a hot uncle or something, who's also supportive, you know where to find me.
Yes. but yeah, that's basically how Chicali Products started. Yeah, I remember the first event I ever did was a Dia de los Muertos event in East LA. And I'm from East LA. Mm-hmm. So I was like, oh, hell yeah. Like, that will be my first event.
I love that.
And the date hadn't been decided, but I knew ballpark when it was gonna be, right? And I paid for my spot and they're like, okay, this is a date. And I'm just like, holy shit, like it's the same day as my dad's death anniversary.
No.
Yeah. And I named my business after my dad, so my dad is Chicali.
Oh
yeah. And so like I named it after him, like, oh, Chicali Products. And I'm like, whoa, this is such a trip. And it's like, okay. So like I started making products for my mom and I named my business after my dad.
Aww.
And started on his death anniversary. And then I got the keys to my studio on his birthday. Yeah, I always get a bunch of blessings around his birthday and his death anniversary.
He's so definitely like working overtime to like,
Yeah.
That's beautiful. Still,
yeah, I love my dad. He still takes care of me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I love that he's blessing the cannabis business. Like, he's blessing it. Like, specifically, like, that's gorgeous. I love that.
Thank you. Yeah, so we're officially a CBD business, which is really badass. Like, what the hell? And then today, or yesterday, I got my S-Corp in the mail. So we're officially a corporation now.
Congratulations.
Yeah. I was nervous. I thought I had missed it because I was like, I sent this out in March. It's like barely August.
It takes time, huh?
Yeah. And I had nothing in the mail in between. So I'm really happy. I was like, oh, I don't want to pay 30% in taxes anymore. Ugh.
No. The like independent contractor life.
Yeah, I'm really happy. It went through.
Congratulations.
Yeah. Because we were so proprietor before. Now we're corp.
Yeah, that's amazing. And it's like such a big step for a small business to get all the paperwork together and like to become official. Like, it really helps to level up everything. Like, we're going through the same process on our end as podcasters. And so like, so we totally get how anxiety inducing and like stressful and expensive and confusing it can be. So like genuine congratulations, because we're like in the thick of our own, you know?
Wow, yeah. I know, dude. I was like crying like a few days ago. I was just like, I hate taxes. Ugh.
So awful.
And I had to like shake it off. I was like, like, okay, it's fine. We're good. And then like a few days after that, we got the letter. And I was like, oh my God, what does the IRS want? I was like, oh, I don't want to open this, but I have to.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I was
the
like,
stress.
Oh. This is good news. Yeah. Oh my God. It is so hard being an entrepreneur because like you just learn as you go.
You have to. And you know, it's funny because what I've kind of observed is there are very few people who will give you like straight up answers about things sometimes. Like sometimes a lot of people, like for whatever reason, even if you ask for like, you know, advice or whatever, or if people offer to give you advice, even sometimes I feel like folks are sometimes like, there's a little bit of weird gatekeeping, I feel like, that goes on, and you have to just end up finding out for yourself. Like these things are not necessarily super easy to like read and learn on your own. Like it's weird and confusing, you know, there's like things like LegalZoom and things like that, but sometimes mistakes can be made and that causes delays and having to make extensions, and that costs even more money. And, you know, it's a whole thing. So I don't know. It's just, yeah, like you said, you have to just learn as you go. There's literally no other way.
Yeah, dude, it's stressful, but it's so rewarding.
It's like, so rewarding. I love it.
Like, I don't know. I was also like watching some reel and it was like, remember when you asked for growth? That's what this is. And I was like, oh!
Yeah.
Like growing pains.
When it like hits you in the face. Oh, like, oh, this is what's happening.
I asked for this. Yeah, dude. Like I've been like, the orders are coming. I've just been like saying that out loud. And I'm like, oh, they are here. Like they're coming. I was like, we got to say it louder, Andy. The orders are coming.
Oh my God. That is fantastic. Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Like, what is it? I'm going to start my second business. It's a plus size only sexy clothing line.
Absolutely. And, hell yeah.
And it's such a good fit because my boyfriend, he actually used to do garment manufacturing with his
dad.
I know. I was like, yes, you're so awesome.
That's so perfect.
Yeah. So he actually used to do the cutting and dad do cutting and all the other stuff before. But like his dad's retired now, but like he spent all of his life being in the garment manufacturing. And the trip out, because his workshop was in this building.
No.
And, yeah. And I remember, and that was like maybe like 4 years ago. He's retired now. And I remember thinking, wow, I want to have my own building. I want to have my own workplace here, but I don't know what. You know, I was just like, wouldn't it be cool? Like, wow.
Yeah.
So I really like femfested this.
Yes. Yes. You said femfested instead of manifested.
Yes.
Oh my God. I have never heard that before, but thank you for bringing that here, because yes, we have to eradicate the word man from our vocabulary.
Yeah. Yeah.
Manifested. Wow. Yeah. I mean, I think that the power of manifestation is so real. Mm-hmm. And it's also like, well, you also have the work behind it.
Yes.
And yeah, that's what's 100%. Most important. So now that you are like full on S Corp CBD business, you have your warehouse space, your workshop space. How has that like added to or changed or impacted your relationship with weed?
Dude, I fucking love it. It just works. Like, wow.
Yeah.
I'm living my high school fantasy. I'm a fucking bruja and I'm in the CBD industry in downtown LA. Like, what the fuck?
Living
like,
the dream.
I'm living the dream. Like, I might have joked around when I was younger, but I definitely meant it.
Yeah.
Like, I can't believe it. Like, I'm in downtown. I have the sick ass view of the skyline. I'm in the fashion district. I have this warehouse. Like, I can't, I don't believe it sometimes. I'm just like, and then other times I'm just kind of like, Like, I kind of like, they go like, okay, well, check, you know, like I needed to do that versus like, I wanted to do that, you know,
yeah.
Like the reason we got our CBD compliance was because we got banned from selling Shopify and then like from using like, what is it? PayPal. And they're like, they held our money for like 6 months too.
No.
Yeah. So I was like, well, I have to do this or else I'm going to starve, you know?
Yeah. 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 So there's, you got a specific CBD compliance, like license.
Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah. So we are officially CBD and hemp. What else? Yeah.
Congratulations. That's so sick. I'm so excited for you.
Thank you.
Yes. But I love how you brought your mom and your family and your dad into your relationship with cannabis and into the stories that you shared today. And I wanted to give you the chance also to just like, where can people find your businesses? Where can people follow you? Where can people keep up with you? Where can people like reach you? Because you're doing such amazing work. I'm trying to hang out. I'm trying to sash, like I'm trying to collab. So where can the people at home find you?
Yes. Oh, thank you. So you can find us on Instagram at Chicali Products. And that's spelled XICALI and then the word products. You could also find us on our website, chicaliproducts.com, spelled exactly the same way. And we have a lot of content around home remedies and what you can do at home so you can take care of yourself and be more natural. And we have a variety of products from skincare to CBD, anxiety, teas, pain management, and headache relief, and even deodorant and toothpaste.
Stop it. With CBD?
The deodorant toothpaste are not, okay. But we are going to come out with a new deodorant that is CBD because for those sensitive pits.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. This is good to know. I love like the variety of products that you have. And I'm so excited to get to know more. Yes. Thank you so much for stopping by Marihuaneta, a podcast for potheads. It's been a pleasure. And yeah, we did it.
All right. As a reminder, save the date. We do, in fact, have the very first, but not the last, Marihuaneta listening party and smoke sesh coming up in LA at an undisclosed location in the Arts District, September 24th. This will be extremely limited capacity. We're gonna have music. We're gonna have a top secret, unreleased episode of Marihuaneta, a podcast for potheads that we are going to be listening to. It's a legit listening party. We're gonna have cannabis brands there. We're gonna have food. We're going to have Latinx vendors. We're going to have POC vendors in the cannabis space. And we're going to have moi doing a little mic work, doing a little crowd work, smoking a little J. You know what I mean? And we're going to have fun and we're going to chill. And it's going to be a cool ass event, undisclosed location. I know where it is. I did a walkthrough of it today. It's sick. It's so cute. Oh my God, you're going to love it. But I'm not going to tell you guys. It's going to be one of those things where it's like you get a ticket, you are on the list. It's limited capacity because it's COVID safe and it's a small outdoor venue. You know what I mean? So we're keeping it small. We're keeping it intimate, but we're also keeping it COVID safe. So it's really not that many tickets. But it's one of those things where you get your ticket and you will be given the address like the morning of or the night before. You know, we're not trying to blow up the spot. We're trying to keep it low key and kind of, you know, we're trying to keep it kind of low. Again, COVID safety, we cannot have tons of people coming through. And sometimes tons of people come through. So this is how you can ensure that you get a ticket and that you are there for our very first listening party and smoke sesh. Again, I'm going to be recording a super special, super fun episode of Marihuaneta, a podcast for potheads. It will not be on the RSS feed. It will not be online. It will not be on any of the podcast platforms. It will not be on Patreon. It will not be on YouTube. It will only be accessible to folks who attend this event in person. and who want to light up and tune in and then just eat and listen to music and dance and have fun and then have a party, you know? So that's what this event is going to be. We hope to do more in the future, and you'll hear more about that. We'll keep you updated. So the way that you can get a ticket, the way that you can attend this event and future events, you need to sign up for our newsletter. Go to locatoraradio.com. locatoraradio.com and sign up for Besitos, our newsletter. Our newsletter recipients are going to be the first ones to know when our ticket portal is open. You guys are going to be the have first dibs. You're going to be the first to know. So if you sign up, you're going to have a jump on the general public. By the time it hits Instagram, this event might be sold out. You know what I mean? So you want to be on the newsletter list. You want to subscribe to the newsletter. locatoraradio.com. Sign up for Besitos. And that way you know exactly when it drops, you can get yours. You can also become a patron on the Locatora Productions Patreon. And starting at the $5 a month or above tier, you get the $5 tier incentives. Plus, you will also get even further first dibs into tickets. The patrons know even before the newsletter recipients, right? And then the Instagram and social media folks just are the last people to know about things. So if you're on Patreon, you're going to know first, and very first dibs. If you're newsletter, you're going to have, you know, also a jump. You're going to know after the Patreon people. And then it all goes on Instagram. So that's how you can get a ticket. We want our events to be COVID safe, limited capacity, outdoors, vaccination required, all that good stuff. All right, marihuaneras, now is time to take a moment to thank my marihuanera patrons on Patreon. You guys are so great because your monthly $10 or $25, we'll get into that in a moment, contribution allows for us to pay our audio editor, to pay our artists, to pay our musicians, and our entire team that contribute to the making of Marihuanera, a Locatora production. So, that being said, one of the incentives to being a Marihuanera patron is that you get a shout out on every episode of the podcast. So for $10 a month, you get a shout out on the podcast. You get invited to a monthly smoke sesh. You get access to unedited, extended episodes that nobody else gets to hear. The extended episodes of Marihuanera, a podcast for potheads, live on Patreon. So you can head over to patreon.com/locatora_radio. Pledge at $10 per month. Locamores, if you pledge at $25 a month, the Locamores anonymous tier, you get access to all the Marihuanera incentives, as well as Locas por Libros, as well as the Locatora Radio tier. See, now every single Locatora production property has its own tier on Patreon. I want to thank our patrons, starting with Gerardo, Alejandra, Ollie, Chelsea, Daniela, Jeanette, Ruthie, Christian, Crisol, Madison, Samuel, Yvonne, Carla, Magdalena, Jasmine, Bailey, Christina, Edna, Selena, Avocado Toast, Rosalina, Sirenia, amazing name, Carla, Dan, Ajopi, and Christina. Thank you all so much for your continued support. If you would like to become a patron, head to patreon.com/locatora_radio. Thank you for lighting up and tuning in to Marihuanera, a podcast for potheads. I'm your host, Mala Munoz. Please visit locatoraradio.com to learn more about us and Locatora Productions. Follow us across social media. I'm at Mala_Munoz. You can also follow us at Locatora_radio. Thank you so much for lighting up and tuning in. Our audio editor is Stephanie Franco. Our Marihuanera jingle is by Crisol Lomeli. Marihuanera logo art is done by the incredible Micah Amaro. this episode written and hosted by me, Mala. Thank you for joining us.
This has been a Locatora production.